Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I'm glad you're here. I'm glad I'm here, too, because that will allow us to have a lot more fun, especially with Beverly Williams. Beverly, longtime member. Heck, she's an original member of our Brain Trust. Nobody on the planet, probably in the galaxy, is more of an ardent supporter of home-based businesses and an advocate for home-based businesses than Beverly Williams. And the reason, one of the reasons I know that is because not only do I say that, but the SBA says that. And they said that very loudly when they named her the 2002 Home-Based Business Advocate of the Year. She's the author, along with Don Cooper, of The 30-Second Commute. And nobody works harder or, as I said, more tirelessly for home-based businesses. She's our good friend. Beverly, welcome back.
Well, thank you. It is always my pleasure to be here.
Well, I can see that. I can understand how it would be such. It would just be like a dream come true for you, Beverly.
I meant more for your audience's sake, but
okay.
Sorry to burst your bubble.
Well, let me tell you, I can always count on you to burst my bubble, Beverly. That's never a problem, Beverly. One of the things we haven't talked about lately that we probably ought to touch on, and I know you've been working on it a little bit lately. And that is the whole environment issue for home-based businesses. When I say environment, folks, I mean the ability for you to actually create a home-based business. Because obviously, by definition, your business, if you're home-based, is in your home. And your home is maybe in a neighborhood, or it may be in a place where the environment is not all that great with regard to the public the statutes, the local statutes, the state or the local, the county, the city statutes. And specifically we're talking about zoning issues, right, Beverly?
Yes, that we are. And I have been talking about these for more than 15 years now.
Probably the first thing you and I ever talked about way back in 1997.
Yeah, I believe
zoning.
It was.
And so, Beverly, before we get into any of the details, the 2006 details, let me ask you a question.
Mm-hmm.
If you, in 97, when we first started talking about this, you were pretty excitable about this. You were pretty upset about it. And,
yes.
And so, now, if back then you had known where we are today in general, the general landscape overall across America for zoning, the progress that has been made or has not been made, if you were, in 97, if I had said, this is where we'll be in 2006, would you have said, okay, that's good enough?
No.
Well, okay, maybe I should reword that. Maybe I should ask that question another way. Would you feel like we would have made progress?
Yes. Slow.
So we don't like the number, but we like the trend.
Yes, that's exactly right. I feel like it's taken too long to get where we are. Unnecessarily long. And I know that that's the political way things go, slowly. I have always been impatient. I know you know that. I believe.
No, not you, Beverly.
When I see something, I think I should take action right now, and I usually do. Unfortunately, other groups, and particularly the powers that be, don't move nearly as fast as I do, and it creates impatience on my part. Now, was that a nice, polite way of saying
it? That was a nice way to say it. Yes, thank you for that. And, you know, Beverly, the thing that I think is making the biggest change, let's slow down for just a minute before we go any further and point out, folks, specifically, in case you're not following us, specifically what we're talking about is there are places where, many places actually, and probably rightfully so, there are places, there are laws, there are homeowners' documents, homeowners' covenants,
covenants and restrictions,
city zoning ordinance, county zoning ordinance, that kind of thing, that have different levels of restrictions on what you can do with your home. As you know, you may not be able to put up a fence. You may not be able to have a boat in your front yard. You may not be able to paint your house a certain color or put a roof on it a different color. Or, you know, you may have to do this or that to the, whatever. And from a city standpoint, you may have certain requirements. One of those may be that you cannot have a business in your home.
Mm-hmm.
There's a restriction that says that. Or, Beverly, as you know very well, because you taught me this, they may say you can have a business, but you can't put up a sign.
Mm-hmm.
You can't have any employees. You can't have regular customers coming and going, that kind of thing. So there are lots of different levels, aren't there?
There are. And let me be the first one to say, and from day one, that it's appropriate zoning ordinances that I'm fighting for.
We all want our property protected from people
exactly.
who would go too far.
Exactly, exactly. I'm a property owner, too. I don't want the value of my house, and I don't want my neighborhood to look like a commercial zone. But I do want the right to operate a business in my home that's appropriate for a residential area.
That anybody driving by wouldn't know was there.
Exactly. Whether I have an employee or whether I have occasional clients coming to the house, most home-based businesses don't have either of those.
Right.
One of the reasons they want to be home-based is to get away from all of that.
Well, or that just isn't the stage of the life of their business yet.
Or they don't need it in their business at all.
Mm-hmm.
Internet-based businesses have no need for an employee and or client coming to the house. So there are lots and lots of ways that home-based businesses could be allowed without infringing upon the neighborhood. And those are some of the things that I've been advocating for so long. Now, let's go back to the fact that...
Can I stop you for a second, Beverly?
Sure.
Basically, what I like to think about what you've been doing as the world's greatest home-based business advocate is you've been lobbying for reason and common sense.
Yes, thank
Let's
you.
Let's just use reason and common sense.
Right, exactly.
And let's do that in the 21st century, not the 20th.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes.
Because as you know, and one of the things that I think is helping this whole issue move along is the culture.
Mm-hmm.
15 years ago, I was home-based. I should say over 15 years ago,
right.
I was home-based. And when I told people, it made them uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
Today, if you told them that, they'd think it was cool.
Right.
The culture has changed. And we're going to talk about this more with our good friend. What you can do, Beverly's got some good ideas, but what you can do if you find yourself in a zoning fix. Stay with us.
Standing on the mountain looking down on the city. The way he ought to feel is a doggone pity. Teardrop falling down the mountainside.
We're back at 23 after the hour. I'm Jim Blastingame, the Small Business Advocate, and my website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. I hope you check it out when you get a chance. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter or the blog, You'll be getting both of them. They're free. The blog comes Monday through Friday by Real Simple Syndication, and the newsletter comes by email. But if you want, you can just go get the blog. You don't have to wait for us to send it to you. We'll do it either way. We do whatever you want. And you can enjoy all of our resources to your little heart's content and whatever you want for free, thanks to our great corporate partners. Beverly Williams is all over our website. She has staked her claim in our world, and and we're glad for that. Beverly, your website is BeverlyWilliams.com.
And BeverlyWilliams.com is right.
Yeah, and they can find your book there, can't they?
They certainly can.
What's the name of that book?
It's called The 30-Second Commute.
How about that, folks?
Yeah.
And it's also available wherever books are sold.
That's correct.
The Ultimate Guide to...
Starting and Operating a Business from Home.
How about that? So
yeah.
It's a good one, folks. If you're home-based or want to be, you got to have that book. Beverly, we're talking about zoning.
Mm-hmm.
And if folks, you know one thing I think sometimes... Beverly, I think, not without meaning to cause any problems, sometimes home-based business owners are their own worst enemy.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? They're so excited about their business, they don't think about what's going on around them, and they got this idea that, you know, that their liberties go as far as they want it to go, and they start up a home-based business, and the next thing you know, it's growing, and they put up a sign up, and their trucks coming and going, and employees coming and going, customers coming and going, and they actually create problems for everybody else, don't they?
Well, they do, and when I teach people how to start and operate a business from home, one of the first questions I ask is whether or not they have checked with their homeowners association and their local government to find out whether they're allowed. And 9 times out of 10, I get incredulous look on their faces like, what? I have to check with somebody else about what I do in my own house? And because there could be impact on other people, the answer is yes, you do. There are laws that govern these things, and they may be very appropriate or they may be antiquated. The original home-based business laws came out of the Industrial Revolution when we began moving away from farming and ranching into manufacturing and industry, and there was a real need to separate the two,
right.
The residential
and commercial. Up until then, for millennia, home-based is the original small business, the original business.
That's what this country was built on.
Yeah, well, and the world. I mean, you know, when Og decided to, you know, to go into business 18,000 years ago, he was in his own cave, you know. But no, it's true, but you know, here, Beverly, you and I have talked about this before, and I think you agree with me that my recommendation is if you are going to have a home-based business and you're going to be very quiet about it, you're committed to not making a spectacle of your business and not hanging a shingle out and not having a bunch of traffic coming and going, and nobody would ever know that you had a home-based business if they didn't ask you or come to see you or whatever, my recommendation is to ask for forgiveness instead of permission. Now, I'm not telling anybody to break the law, but I'm afraid that if you go some places and you tell them is it okay if I have a home-based business in my business, then, you know, somebody's going to say, well, no.
Well, the unfortunate part about forgiveness, Jim, is that there are areas that won't forgive.
Now,
the covenants and restrictions are the hardest to get changed.
You got to know those. You can't violate those. That's right.
No.
I'm talking about places, and I should have been more specific. I'm talking about places where there isn't anything specific written down about that.
Okay. Well, when there's nothing specific, then there generally isn't a problem anyway, and you don't have to ask forgiveness.
Right.
The problem comes when there are still laws that say no businesses will be in residential areas. And it is difficult for localities to change some of that as well. One of the things that's happening at the higher levels is that the federal government, which I've been asking and a lot of other people have been asking for a long time, for some policy directive from the government, federal government, down to the states and then the states down to the localities to be in favor of appropriate zoning ordinances that allow home-based businesses to flourish in the area.
Right.
There are so many reasons why this is good for the economy and good for the localities, but it has to be done with appropriate regulations, and that's been the difficult part. A lot of places don't know, one, whether they should or not, and two, there's a lot of very vocal people who are against it for emotional reasons rather than factual reasons.
To me, Beverly, so, we've got about 20 seconds. This is where the Chamber of Commerce ought to get involved.
Yes, the Chamber should, and everybody needs to be involved. You need to let your representatives know how you feel about it and what you want to see done.
And if you're a home-based business owner and you agree with us that the Chamber should get involved, my next question is, are you a Chamber member? And if you're not, you should be.
Yes, absolutely.
Beverly, thank you for being here. Give us your website one more time.
www.beverlywilliams.com.
She's the best, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks, Beverly. See you next time.
I'll be here.
Gotta go for just a few minutes. I'll be right back with Dr. Tom Coburn of Oklahoma, Senator from Oklahoma, and Terry Neat, 29 after. Stay with me.
You know the next.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.